So we continue our series in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. And as we study this text, we're talking about the comfort that God has to bring to his people. And we want you to be comforted today through the study and the teaching of the word. It's my prayer that you'll be brought into the presence of Jesus and that he will comfort you and minister to you during these difficult days. Remember when we began this series, we began by talking about the fact that God is a God of all comfort. We referred to a text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. That verse tells us very clearly that God is a God that wants to comfort you and wants to comfort me. It's the desire of our Creator God to comfort us, to help us, and to encourage us. That text of Scripture says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which he has comforted us." And so it's my hope today that we, as we study the word, that you'll be comforted by the Lord. The scripture says that when we've been comforted by God, we're able to comfort others. And we're called to comfort each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Comfort each other." We've been called to each other to comfort each other. And we're able to do that as we receive comfort from the Lord. And God uses various tools and instruments to bring us comfort. Well, it is good to know that God's got this, that he has his hand on this whole situation and is with us and wants to minister to us and help us. So let's look at our outline once again and just kind of talk a little bit about where we've been and where I believe the Lord wants to take us. We began with looking at verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah chapter 40, where it spoke about the fact that God had a plan that he wanted to bring comfort to his people. We talked about preparation in verses 3 through 5, the preparation that we bring to welcome the Lord into our lives. Now, this certainly is a weekend where the welcome of the Lord is a theme. Palm Sunday, as I said in our opening, that it is the triumphal entry of Jesus, where the Messiah was welcomed to Jerusalem. And we've been talking the last few weeks about, raising up the valleys, lowering the mountains, and straightening out the crooked roads, doing everything to remove any barriers between us and God. And also that we would prepare the way for the Lord, not only into our lives, but into the lives of others. This is a time when people are looking for help. They're looking for encouragement. And we're able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring ministry to people during these difficult days. Now, we ended last week by talking about getting perspective, seeing who we are and who our enemies are. And Israel was going through a difficult time being oppressed by foreign powers, and they needed to know that God was greater than all of his creation. Everything that's created is not greater than God, but he is over all his creation. And now this week, we're going to finish up talking about our responsibility of proclamation, of giving good news. The world is looking for a word from heaven. What does God have to say? Where is God during these difficult times? How can I connect with God? Is God there for me? Does he care? And we have the privilege of sharing truth with the world around us. And I believe their ears are open as never before and they're listening, and we have a great opportunity to share truth with them. So proclamation is important, and I'm going to open by talking a little bit about how much trouble I get in with my mouth. Now, I know you're surprised that my mouth gets me in trouble, but it does all the time. And anybody that knows me knows they're not surprised. I'm not surprised. The tongue is a powerful tool. It can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. It can be helpful and healing, or it can be hurtful. And often I say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it gets me in trouble. I'm sure many of you can relate to that. I might even say the right thing, but I say it the wrong way. And I say it in such a way that it isn't helpful. And the Bible says in Proverbs 25:11 that a fitly spoken word is like apples of gold and in the setting of silver. This text literally speaks about the first part of it. A word fitly spoken, it speaks about a word that has wheels like a chariot. The picture in the original Hebrew speaks about a word that is swift and effective. And a fitly spoken word is like a chariot that is quick and powerful, and it moves with great ease. A fitly spoken word is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, in a beautiful setting, appealing. A fitly spoken word has the power to move and to appeal and to encourage and to enlighten. A fitly spoken word. Well, often I speak a word that's not a fitly spoken word. It's a harmful, a discouraging, something that doesn't help an individual. In the last few days, like many of you, I know we've all been very concerned about germs. And my wife has been giving me instruction, helping me to be aware of my surroundings. And she often says, you know, be careful when you go to the grocery store, or be careful when you talk with someone. Keep a distance. And she talks about, you know, washing my hands and how important that is. And so she does it through text. And so as we're texting each other, I have a verse of scripture that I keep sending to her. It comes from the book of Esther, chapter 4, and verse 16. Now, scripture is good, but sometimes scripture misused can be hurtful and or not helpful. And so when I talk about places I have to go or things I have to do, and she's concerned about it, I just send her Esther 4 and verse 16. Now, she'll as we read it, as you get to the end of it, Esther, Queen Esther uses this line. She says, "And if I perish, I perish." And I keep giving that line, that verse to my wife as a verse of encouragement. And she says, how is that encouraging? And I just said, oh, well, that's what the word says. It's really not a fitly spoken word. It's not a scripture that encourages her. It's a good verse, but if it's not used in the right setting, it's not helpful. Words are powerful. It's not only the right words, but having them be used at the right time and in the right way. We know that Jesus was a master of using the words in powerful and helpful ways. As they talked about Jesus speaking in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 22, it says, when Jesus spoke, listen to this, what it says. When Jesus spoke, they all bore witness to him, and they marveled at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And so as we talk about talking this weekend, making proclamation, telling people good news. The people need a good word, an encouraging word, a positive word, a helpful word. We want to be like Jesus, where we speak gracious words. The Bible says that Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, it says that Jesus was full of these two things, grace and truth. Grace and truth. So as we speak and as we share truth with others, let us have gracious words like Jesus had, and let us be full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Ephesians 4:15 says this, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And so we need to, as we speak the truth, but we need to do it in a loving way. Lord, help us to speak the truth in love. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, we know it as the love chapter, the love text. But 1 Corinthians 13, 1 says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I believe that this is a great time to be able to share truth with others, to make a proclamation about the greatness of God, the power of God, the help that God has to offer. But we need to do it with love, moved and motivated by love. So as we look at our outline, real quick, the master outline, the large outline, as we move through it tonight, we're talking about proclamation. We have God's plan to bring comfort. We're to prepare our hearts to welcome the Lord and prepare others to receive the Lord. We need perspective, knowing that God is greater, He's creator, we're creation, and that everything that's against us is not as great as God. That God's greatness is greater than everything that is standing against us. And the proclamation of truth is important, verses 9 through 11. So let's read that text, Isaiah 40, and we're looking at verses 9 through 11. Listen to what the prophet says. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into a high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are young. So here's the prophet speaking about proclamation that needs to take place. The truth that Israel needs to hear about who God is. And I just want to say that this text of Scripture begins by directing us to God and who He is and what He has to offer. So let's look at an outline that we have. And we have 4 points in this outline. And as we talk about being heard in troubled times, making proclamation, we have an opportunity to talk to our neighbors and give them comfort. We have an opportunity to talk to our loved ones, our family, and our friends, and bring them comfort. We have an opportunity for people that are you know, discouraged to bring a word of encouragement. We can text, we can call. I just really want to encourage you, in fact, to be thinking about meaningful ways. I've begun to set myself a goal of communicating 5 texts a day to individuals that I can encourage through texts. And this is a stretch for me because I'm not a telephone guy, but I'm going to try to do 5 calls a day where I just make a quick call and say, how you doing? And how can I pray for you? And connecting with people in meaningful ways, communicating truth during difficult times. You see, Israel was discouraged and they needed to be encouraged. So God sent a prophet, the prophet Isaiah, to proclaim truth, make a proclamation. Jerusalem needed to hear that God was going to help them, that he was there for them. And so this text is really instructive. As we look at verse 9, I want you to note in verse 9 that we need to be ready to be used by God. Put yourself in a place to be used by God. And then I want to talk about the message we bring, a positive message, and then we want to talk about having a confidence. So let's look at, first of all, be ready to be used by God. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the mountain, O Jerusalem. Now, this was literally talking about being in a place where Jerusalem could hear what the prophet had to say. He said, you know, be ready. Put yourself in a place that you can proclaim truth. You who, listen to what they're to bring. You who bring good tidings. You know, we have a good word. We have a message that needs to be heard. Here he calls it good tidings. Be ready to bring good tidings. Good tidings of great joy. It says in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. We need glad tidings of good things. And then it goes on to say in that text, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That's a positive and powerful message that God wants us to bring. Israel needed to hear how great God was, that God had help for them in their time of need. So first of all, as we look at these 4 points of our outline, number one, be ready to be used by God. Number two, bring a positive message, something positive, something that's helpful to people. Let them know that as we read this text, he says, you know, lift up your voice, lift it up and don't be afraid. This is all talking about bold proclamation. And then he says, say to the cities of Judah, and here's the important line at the end of verse 9, behold, say, who proclaim to the, proclaim salvation, say to Zion, your God, nope, I'm sorry, we want to go back to the Isaiah 40 text, sorry, Mark, and as we were looking at this text in the outline, he says, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's the right text. Behold your God. So the proclamation is, look heavenward, look upward. Don't you look at the mess, the discouragement, the difficulty, look upward and you'll see God. Bring a positive message and bring that message with confidence. As you've experienced God's presence, you can proclaim the power and the presence of God is there for others. Now, verse 10 brings our next point, which is bringing, when we speak, we turn people to God. Behold, the Lord your God shall come with a strong hand. What a positive message. God coming with his strong right hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Let's note what is said here. As we look at our outline real quick, it says as we bring people to God, we're gonna show them three things about him. We're gonna talk about his might, we're gonna talk about the blessings that he has to bring, and we're going to talk about his care. These three things are a positive and important message for people to hear right now, that God is a mighty God, an all-powerful God, the one that created everything and holds everything together. He is a God that wants to bring blessing. He notes in this text, as he comes, it says, behold, his reward is with him. In verse 10, it says, behold, his reward is with him. When the Lord comes, when he is present, he brings his reward, and he also brings his comfort. Look at the next piece or the next part of that. Verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather his lambs. He'll carry them in his bosom. He'll gently lead those who are with young. So we have a message to proclaim, an important message to bring. The tongue is a powerful tool that can bring encouragement to people that have need. Let me give you some proverbs. These proverbs are an important teaching of wisdom for you and I. Let me just give you a couple Proverbs. Proverbs 15 verse 2 says this, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of a fool pours forth foolishness. Proverbs 15 verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but a perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 21, 23, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. In Proverbs 31, verse 26, as it talks about the virtuous woman, it says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. We want what the prophet said in Isaiah 50 and verse 4. He says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. Listen to this. A word in season to him who is weary. A word in season. A word in season for him who is weary. That we would know the right word to say at the right time. We have so much opportunity to minister. Many of us have time on our hands that we've never had before, and hopefully we're using it well and using it wisely, that we would encourage and help others. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says this, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. That we would give a good word that makes others glad. Now, as we begin to move into the next part of our text, the prophet begins to build Israel's faith. And the word that he speaks to them is about the great God that created the universe, the God that has created all things. As he has them look to heaven and behold their God, he says, as you look at God, it's God that created the universe that we turn to and we trust in. We look at, and as we look at the big outline that we're looking at in our series, we see that the next part of our outline is the personhood of God. Our proclamation, use your tongue wisely. Use it as a tool and an instrument that God can to bring honor and glory to him, but to bring comfort to others. As we have received comfort, we're able to give comfort to others. Israel had lost sight of the great creator God of heaven. So as he says, look to God, behold your God, he notes that in a couple of the texts of Scripture. In Isaiah 40, in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, he says, behold your God. And then in verse 10, he says, behold your God. Look to God. Now, when they see God, what kind of God are they to see? The Almighty God that created everything. And as you begin to read in verse 12, he begins to talk about who God is. Remember when Job was discouraged and needed encouragement? When Job had lost sight of who God is, in the book of Job, God reveals to Job who he is. He says, Job, where were you when I created all of this? And verse after verse after verse, he talks about the mighty hand of God that had created the universe. Well, in this text, guess what? He turns to the mighty creator God. Now, our faith is objective. The object of our faith is God. So as we are reminded of who God is, it will build and increase our faith. It's not about you having more faith in you. It's about you having a clear view of God and who he is. So let's just look for a moment and to verse 12 and some of the verses following. This speaks of the personhood of God. Listen to the questions by the prophet. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now, it's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? God. Who has done this? Who, and continuing to read, and who has measured the heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? Who taught him the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? So in verses 12, 13, and 14, we have the prophet asking Israel the question, who has done all these great things? And the answer is God, Creator God, has done all these great things. And so he proclaims the greatness of God. We're instructed in scriptures over and over again, lift up your eyes. Look at verse 26, Isaiah 40. And if we can go forward to verse 26 for a moment, listen to what he says in verse 26, kind of the end of the text, this whole piece of the personhood of God. He says, lift up your eyes on high. This is what I want you to do. If you're discouraged, your faith is low right now, you're struggling with trusting God, you're full of fear and you're full of worry, I want to encourage you to do this. Lift up your eyes on high. Do what the psalmist said in Psalms 121, where he says, you know, look heavenward. Here, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Get a clear view again of God. God made you. He made me. He has created the world. Not only did he make it, but the scripture says in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, that by him all things consist. He holds all things together. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, and he calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and strength of power, not one is missing. So you look at the whole created universe, all the stars, all the planets, all the people. He knows them. He knows you. He knows me. He knows us. And God is a God that not one of them are missing. He hasn't forgotten about you, and he hasn't forgotten about me. So this proclamation is good news for people in difficult times, that the almighty creator of the universe holds you in the very palm of his hand. Let him, the mighty God of Israel, our mighty creator God, hold you, love you, and minister to you. Remember what the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's your shepherd and my shepherd today. So we have the privilege of proclaiming the greatness of God and the power and the might of God. Let us use our tongue in an effective way this week to encourage others and to comfort others. Let us direct them to God with a positive message of his power and his might and the blessings that he has and the fact that he wants to care for you and he wants to care for me. So this weekend, we're going to remember the Lord and a time around the table for a few moments. And many of you have come to the church and picked up your little cups of communion, of juice and of bread. And maybe you're at home and you didn't pick that up, but I want to encourage you to run to your kitchen and get a hold of some bread and get a hold of some juice. And we want you to remember the Lord Jesus and worship him with us. And we believe that this will encourage your faith as you reflect back to how much Jesus loved you. It says, God the Father so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus. And Jesus came. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to seek you, to reach out to you. He came to give you connection, closeness with God, that he can comfort you. Jesus removed our sin. The thing that kept us from God was our sin. And Jesus came and bore our sin, carried our sin and our sorrows. He took our sin. He paid the price for our sin. And so we want to remember him and worship him in this moment in time. So I hope that you're able to enter into this time with us. And it tells us in the Gospel of Matthew 26, verse 26, that as he was in the upper room with his disciples, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. This bread speaks of the body of Jesus. This bread speaks of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took my sin, all my sins. He took your sins, all your sins because he loved you so much and he loved me. And he died. He paid the price. The Bible says that he was the lamb that took our sin, bore our sin, became sin for us. So let's thank the Father. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for Jesus for coming and becoming sin for us and taking the wrath, the righteous wrath of our holy heavenly Father in your body, bearing our sin and paying for our sins. The wages of sin is death, and you paid that wage. We thank you for loving us, and we remember you. I pray your blessing on this bread, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And so, after he had given the bread to his disciples, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." We do it in remembrance of Jesus today. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for your body which was given and the blood which was shed. We pray your blessing on this cup. We thank you for your blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. Your life was given. You paid the price. You were the Lamb of God which took away the sins of the world. Bless this cup. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Continuing in our reading in that gospel, Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So we take this cup and remember Jesus and his shed blood. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. I pray your blessing on your people this week. I pray that we would be faithful, Lord, to be proclaimers of the comfort that you have to offer. I pray that we direct people's attention to you, our mighty God. I thank you for time together. I pray that you would minister to us from your throne, that we would receive the grace and mercy which is available to give us help in our time of need. We pray your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Our prayers are with you this week. We stand ready as a ministry to meet your needs. And be sure to stay in touch with us. And God bless you and have a great week. Thanks.